how easy it is for Christians to change. As long as everything is satisfying and enjoyable, we are able to smile and praise the Lord. But what happens when trouble or sorrow appear? Do we still smile and praise God? Well, I'll let you answer that question out of your own experience. After receiving word from Mary and Martha relative to Lazarus' illness, Jesus waited 2 more days. Then he said to his disciples, "Let us go into Judea again." Now, he didn't say Bethany, but Judea, where the Jews had sought to take his life. This disturbed his disciples greatly, and they said in the 8th verse of John 11, "Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again?" You see, the disciples were so human, they're like us, overlooking the fact that Christ was God, and whatever he chose to do was for the very best. Now Jesus answered in verses 9 and 10, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him." Christ did not rebuke his disciples for their faithlessness. He merely quoted a familiar proverb and left them to make the application. You see, the Jews divided the day from sunrise to sunset into 12 equal parts. This was the working day. The workman or the traveler had the promise of light to help in his task. At the conclusion of the day, there was no such promise. What needed to be done should be done before the approach of night. Our Lord's ministry was fast approaching the 12th hour. It was impossible for him to be slain before his divinely ordained time. He had declared in John 9, verse 4, "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work." Now, our Lord's purpose in going to Judea was stated very clearly in verse 11. "Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep." What a startling statement. Notice the tenderness with which our Lord speaks of death. His language was figurative, of course, and referred only to the body, which was sleeping in the sense of waiting for the resurrection, when it would arise out of sleep. Now, the soul never sleeps. At death, the Christian soul goes immediately to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul described this as being absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. It would be easy for anyone to relate the fact of another's death, but only the Son of God could say, "I will awake him out of sleep." What he did for Lazarus, he will do for all of his people. How do we know? His own resurrection is the proof, and he declared in John 14, verse 19, "Because I live, ye shall live also." The body of every believer that goes down into the dust will come forth from the grave, a perfect body. What a thrilling hope we have in the hour of death. The grave is not the end. As was often the case, the disciples misunderstood Christ. "Lord," they said in verse 12, "if he sleep, he shall do well." You see, sleep was regarded as a healthy sign in time of sickness. In verse 13, "Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest and sleep." Verse 14, "Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead." Consider how our Lord prepared the disciples for this message. First, he said, "Let us go into Judea again." Then he spoke of the sickness of Lazarus, that they would understand why he wanted to go to Judea. But since they did not understand, he broke the news to them lightly, saying, "Our friend Lazarus sleepeth." Finally, he declared, "Lazarus is dead." Our Lord deals with each of us as lovingly in the hour of death. How marvelous is his peace! I read in 1 Thessalonians 4:13 that we sorrow not even as others which have no hope. Surely, like the unsaved, we have sorrow. But our situation is not hopeless like theirs, for we have the promise of everlasting life in Christ. It was John Wesley who said, "Our people die easily." Death to the Christian is the entrance into a larger, fuller life without limitations of any kind. It is often difficult to know what to say at the time of death. Sometimes when a child of God dies, even Christians will say, "Isn't that too bad?" or "I'm sorry." Should Christians speak this way when we know the deceased is gone into the presence of the Lord? "You have my sympathy," to some degree, eases the pain of sorrow, but it does place a crape where there should be a crown. Consider what the Lord Jesus said in verse 15, "And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him." Christ was glad. Did he mean that he was glad Lazarus died? No, not that at all. He was glad that since Lazarus was dead, this would provide an occasion to help. Should this not be the attitude of every true believer at the time of death? What can I do to help? Christ wanted to bring Lazarus back to life, and he wanted to help the disciples to believe. His gladness was found in helping others. Even as he went to the cross, the same gladness flooded his heart. I read in Hebrews 12:2, "Who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame." There was a quick reply by Thomas in verse 16, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." Now this was a gloomy and despondent outlook. He who later doubted our Lord's own resurrection could not foresee that of Lazarus. Thomas is mentioned in other portions of John's Gospel, but each time he looked on the dark side of things. Thomas was called Didymus, meaning twin. In one of his books, Dr. Harry Ironside asks, "I wonder who the other twin was." Perhaps if you look into the mirror, you will see the other one. You see, so often we bear the characteristics of doubting Thomas, rather than believe the Lord and trust him. God says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Do not let the devil rob you of the joy of the Lord by allowing yourself to be overcome by pessimism. Praise the Lord for all things, and you too will know the gladness Christ possessed. A lot of people are worriers. They worry about everything. And yet, God says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, with prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." You see, the Lord has everything under control. God is sovereign. He doesn't just come along and pick things up and patch things up. All things work together for good to them that love God. God has a plan for your life and for mine. And we can't do anything to improve on the plan. We must accept what God sends with praise, knowing that God's will is best. Now, of course, we can step out of God's will and do it our own way and get things all messed up. But if we wait on the Lord and sincerely want his plan and his will for our lives, we shall know the blessedness of walking with God. And even in the midst of deepest sorrow, we shall have the peace of God and the joy of the Lord. Friend, do you know the Lord? Have you ever definitely asked Christ to come into your life? How long are you going to wait? God is ready right now. He's been ready for a long time. Open your heart to God. Just say, "Lord, I know I'm a sinner, but I realize that Christ died for my sins, and right now I trust him as Savior and Lord." God will hear you. Father, for those praying this prayer, meet them, I pray. Lead them in your will and way. And for those going through the hard places today, help them to trust you. May they exercise faith in him who never fails, even our wonderful Lord. Have your way in every life, and I'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.